I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's the weekend of the Final Four, so instead of our customary three stories you should know, we're going to do four stories you should know. April Fools, day or so late. Does anybody else think that's funny? I thought it was great. Anyway, my guests for three stories you should know are Michael Lee of Yahoo Sports and Patrick Ruby, contributing editor at Vice Sports. Welcome to both of you.
I laughed because you laughed, though.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what was funny to me is that you found it funny.
All right. Anyway, Michael, you're first. What do you got for us?
Well, everyone's probably well aware this is Kobe Bryant's final season, and the Lakers have not given him any reason to even think about coming back. It's been a disaster. It's been a terrible year. But this week, it was discovered that their future, their promising rookie, D'Angelo Russell, has suddenly become a pariah within the locker room because he secretly recorded his teammate Nick Young confessing to relationships outside of the woman he plans to marry, pop star Iggy Azalea. People said he violated the code. He violated the trust of the locker room. This is not the first time that the NBA has found itself in the midst of a storm regarding some secret recordings. Just 2 years ago, V. Stiviano recorded Donald Sterling, the former owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, saying some bigoted, racist comments that eventually led to his ousting from the entire league. So I guess my question is, at what point is it good to be a rat?
You want to take it from there, Patrick?
This might just be the kind of stupid thing that, like, kids these days, and I know it's like an old man saying that, but, you know, who have access to social media and have, you know, these really powerful computers in their pockets. We know it's smartphones that can record all this stuff. Would kind of do something like this, maybe unthinkingly. They're used to sort of putting everything out there on social media, and maybe this is just the kind of dumb thing that somebody that young does. I also would not be surprised if someone told me this is actually part of the Lakers' master plan to keep tanking in order to keep their top three pick this year. Because everything else they've done this year seems to be part of that.
I don't quite understand how young men and women coming up in this culture don't understand that what happens in the locker room stays on the internet. Everything's out there, and there is no such thing as privacy. But supposedly, these kids are smart. They're coming up tech savvy. How can the guy possibly think that this was a good idea?
That's part of the problem with Nick Young, is, and why guys are so upset with D'Angelo, is that whatever's said in there is meant to kind of be in there, and you don't expect one of your own to be the one to expose your indiscretions to the public.
Patrick, what have you got for us this week?
So I've got a March Madness-related story. At University of Michigan basketball team, there's a guard, Spike Albrecht. He's a senior. He missed most of the season with a chronic hip injury. Pretty much thought, my career's done, but he's healed. He has already graduated, and that's an important thing to remember here. And as such, you know, he wants to play next year right away as a graduate transfer, which under NCAA general rules is fine. However, under those same NCAA rules, the school you're currently playing for, in this case Michigan, which again, he has already graduated from, that school can bar you from transferring to basically whatever schools it says. So in this case, the Michigan coach was preventing Spike Albrecht from transferring to any other schools within his conference. Now, there's a happy ending and a sad ending here. The happy ending is that Michigan actually reversed course and is going to let Spike Albrecht transfer wherever he wants to go. The bad thing is Michigan did the right thing here, but they still have the option of doing the wrong thing. And so do all these other schools in the NCAA. If this whole enterprise in big-time college sports is about academics, which is what we are always told, if it's about that, then a student who has graduated and wants to pursue more education in their institution should just be able to do that. Moreover, it's one of these cases where it shows how much arbitrary and total power the coaches, the schools, the athletic departments, and the NCAA itself have over the players. And it doesn't make any sense. And the last thing that doesn't make sense is this is essentially a no-compete clause. And once again, if we're talking about quote-unquote amateur athletes, how could you enforce a non-compete clause when you're not even paying them?
You know, Patrick, I think you're making the terrible mistake of trying to apply logic to anything the NCAA does. But I'll step aside and let Michael tell you what he thinks.
Well, obviously, the NCAA is the hub of hypocrisy. I mean, if you want to find things that don't make sense, you will find it in that organization. There has to be something established by players, by athletes, to where they can counter this. They have to find something within the system to allow them to have some kind of rights, because when it comes to transfers, it's so bogus how it's done. You know, if a coach decides he wants to leave, you're stuck at that school.
This is an organization so bizarre, so Byzantine, and so concerned with being self-serving and keeping everybody in it employed and making lots of money, that it's lost sight of its original reason for being, which theoretically, historically at least, was to protect the interest of athletes. And that's simply not part of the deal anymore. All right, let's move on to my story. It has to do with the women's soccer team, the U.S. women's soccer team. This week, the men's soccer team failed to qualify for the Olympics in Rio. The women's team will be the defending champions at those Olympics, and they have filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, contending that they who win nearly everything are woefully underpaid in comparison with those who win nothing. The numbers are shifting on this. The New York Times recently put out some numbers that said the numbers in the complaint weren't quite right. So I don't want to get bogged down in the specific numbers. The fact is the women are being paid a great deal less than the men. They do generate a lot of money. They have great television ratings when they play in the World Cup. If they don't generate as much money, it's because FIFA and the U.S. Soccer Federation haven't done as much to promote women's soccer as they have to promote men's soccer. If the U.S. Soccer Federation had any brains, they would say, gee whiz, you're right. Let's start all over and give you more money. And then everybody would be happy. And they'd say, by the way, we're going to give you grass fields the next time, too, and not make you play on plastic. I'm out of breath. So somebody else take it from there.
Well, I mean, to me, it sounds like the U.S. Soccer Federation has something in common with the NCAA who we were just talking about.
And with FIFA and with all the rest of those ridiculous organizations.
I mean, in terms of how much you're paid in sports or in life, I mean, look, first of all, it has everything to do with how much leverage you have and what can you get. But in this case, I think in terms of gender fairness, which I believe is a lot of what their lawsuit is about, at the very least, whether or not there's equal pay between men and women, there should be an equal percentage of whatever amount of money they're bringing in. Again, some of the numbers I've seen, it looks like the women's team is actually more lucrative in some ways than the men's team at the national level.
I think the women are cheating themselves. They should ask for more money than the men, because they're clearly earning it on the field, even though they have to put up, like you said, with really bad conditions. They are the team that we are proud of when we think about American soccer. We kind of judged men's soccer, you know, we give them participation trophies. Like, if whatever they get there, yay, let's go men. But when it comes to the women, they actually get out there, they kick butt, they give us a reason to be proud. So I think they're selling themselves short by asking for equal pay. They deserve to get all of the revenue because of what they're able to produce.
All right, I'm supposed to have the final word on this because it's my topic, but there's nothing more to say. And Michael, you were not only passionate and articulate about it, but utterly convincing. Never mind that you were preaching to the choir in this particular case. My guests for Three Stories You Should Know have been Michael Lee of Yahoo Sports and Patrick Ruby of Vice Sports. Thanks very much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.